Amen. The book of Romans, chapter 6, is a text that claims our attention for this sanctuary service. As we continue in this series of Christian consistency, always the same. I'm going to begin reading at verse number 1. And I thank the Lord for confirmation this morning during our testimony service for the direction that I believe we've received for these next following weeks. Romans 6. Again, in verse 1, the word of the Lord reads on this wise. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? And so the subject I want to use this morning, Prophet Coleman, is tunnel thinking.
All right.
If y'all were listening to Prophet Coleman, he said that we've got to raise our level of thinking. I about jumped out my skin when he said that. That there is a phrase that I want to coin this morning called tunnel thinking.
Uh-huh.
And tunnel thinking, it jumped at me because there is a phrase called tunnel vision.
Right.
And tunnel vision, our understanding is it's a defective sight in which objects cannot be properly seen if not close to the center of the field of view. Mm. But there's one more definition. It says the tendency to focus exclusively on a single or limited goal or point of view.
Uh-huh. Come on,
now. Glory to God. And so in the text, and Paul is really challenging our thinking. He's challenging our thinking in the area of sin and death. And so we've got to be consistent in our thinking, in our tunnel thinking. He's giving us a tunnel vision, a tunnel way to think in the text today. There's really no literary break between chapter 5 and chapter 6. One of them just continues the argument that he has begun from the other. Paul is still dealing with the subject of sin rather than sins.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all want to just pick some out. He says sin is sin. He's going to show that Christ's victory at Calvary liberates us not only from sin's penalty, but also from his power. That's a good word right there. And our security gives us no excuse to continue to sin.
That's right.
All right. I know we are the security of the believer. Say that we're going once saved, always saved. But it does not give you a right to continue to sin. On the contrary, we who were once dead in sin are now dead to sin.
Yes.
Yeah. Far from the doctrine of eternal security of the believer resulting in our thinking of freedom to sin, it actually sets before us our freedom from sin. And so he wants us to understand our deliverance level from the domain of death. According to Paul, ignorance is a key factor in hindering a life of victory. Some of us can't get victory because we just don't know. We ignorant. You heard the expression in the text. It says, "Know ye not." It occurs here and it keeps on. If you keep reading down through this text, you'll see it again. His area, this first area of ignorance that Paul deals with, has to deal with the domain or the area of death. Death, once our enemy, is now actually made to minister to the believer the benefits of Christ's victory over the tomb.
Yes.
We don't look at death like that. He said, "I'm trying to help you to get your thinking at a place that will keep you at a place of victory." Yeah, he says that you got to understand that there is a reality of our death with Christ. Yeah, the idea that a believer has already died is so revolutionary that Paul begins by saying that this is the truth of the matter. Look at there, verse number 1 and 2. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Nothing can be more unresponsive than a person who is dead. You know,
right.
can you imagine someone trying to arouse a reaction from a corpse? You know, you can touch it, you can caress it, you can command it, you can kick it, and no response will come. For the simple reason that it's dead to all of those stimuli. But God considers the believer to be dead to the promptings of sin.
Yeah.
He considers us to be dead, to be unresponsive to sin, to have no reaction to sin. I'm trying to get your thinking in the tunnel vision. Yeah, and there was a certain church, a true story, a certain church, there was this narrow, bigoted old deacon, strictly old school and suspicious of anything new. You know, old, dried up, die hard, hard headed, you know, sitting in judgment on all who refuse to be ruled by his view of scripture, his cutting temperament and his unproductive soul. He, although not his real name, let me call him Mac. Can I call him Mac? This church, there came a young man to this place. He's dripping with the anointing of God. He comes, y'all, with vision and gifting. He's got charm and he's possessed an unusual grasp of the scripture and a distinct measure of wisdom. The man's ministry was singularly blessed of God to the salvation of souls and to the quickening of many of God's people. But inevitably, perhaps, some of his views did not coincide with those of the stubborn old man who ruled the diaconate. Help us, Jesus. For years, the deacon did all in his power to discourage, to oppose, to criticize the younger man. And one day, another member of the church asked the young man how he managed to put up with this deacon. His startling reply was, "I died to Matt 5 years ago." This young man had grasped the secret of the believer's death with Christ. You know, and I come to tell us today, we ought to grasp the truth of it ourselves. Look at it. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?
Yes.
That there should be in our lives such an experience of the reality of our death with Christ that sin can arouse no response from us at all. We ought to embrace the fact that we have died with Christ so much that the mess that comes at us don't bother us.
Right.
We don't allow it to hinder us. It's like how y'all handled the storm last week. It's how you've been handling your situations, because you know that you have died with Christ. And those things that would have been a hindrance, that would have been a problem before, no longer can come up against you.
Yes,
glory to the Lamb of God.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not only is we've got to come to grips with the truth of our death, but you also need to understand the triumph of it.
Come on.
People, they just miss things when they come to understand when somebody died. You know, it really made me a sad moment for a while. But triumph has taken over.
Yes.
They have victory in Jesus, even through death. Glory to God. And Paul says, you got to understand that there is triumph. Get your thinking right. There is triumph even in your death with Christ. And he tried to drive this point home and gives us a couple of illustrations. And he's there in verse number 3. Catch me there. Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life.
Yeah.
There was one commentator would say that this verse, the word baptized, is not the translation of the Greek word here, but it's the transliteration. It's spelling in English letters. The word is used in the classics of a smith who dips a piece of hot iron in water, tempering it. Also, of Greek soldiers placing the points of their swords, and barbarians the points of their spears, in a bowl of blood. The usage of the word here in our text, it resolves itself into the following definition of the word baptizo. It is the introduction or placing of a person or thing into a new environment or into union with someone else so as to alter its condition or its relationship to its previous environment or condition. Glory to God. That's what it means to be baptized with him, to take you out of one environment into another environment. Right here in Romans chapter 6, it refers to the act of God introducing a believing sinner into vital union with Jesus Christ in order that the believer might have the power of his sinful nature broken and the divine nature implanted through his identification with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection, thus altering the condition and relationship of that sinner with regard to his previous state and environment, bringing him into a new environment, the kingdom of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. In other words, in this biographical illustration, Paul refers to our baptism into Christ. This is something that happens at conversion. That's when you experience it. There are others who maintain, of course, that the baptism referred to here in our text is water baptism and not spirit baptism. Whichever view you choose to adopt, the fact remains that Paul is driving home the reality of our death with Christ by pointing to a real and actual personal experience. And so he gives us another illustration in verse 5, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of death, his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Glory. That word planted here is literally united together. One says that the word could be used of Siamese twins. Another translated united by growth. and add, the word actually expresses the process by which a graft becomes united with the life of a tree. So the Christian becomes grafted into Christ.
All
right. We become vitally united to him. We share his very life. Mm-hmm. And in these two illustrations, Paul is seeking to convey the remarkable truth that Christ's death was our death. His burial was our burial. His resurrection was our resurrection.
Yeah.
He not only died, I told you before, he not only died for me, he died as me. And so far as God is concerned, we are already on the resurrection side of the grave, and it but remains for us to realize this truth and appropriate it, to apply it. And when we do that, victory is ours.
Yes, Lord.
Glory to the Lamb of God. Yeah, those who practice baptism of believers by immersion maintain that water baptism, y'all know how they say it, is the outward expression of an inward experience. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it represents that which has already been done in the heart by the Holy Spirit. Baptism by immersion does indeed afford a great illustration of the believer's death, burial, and resurrection with Christ. First, the believer takes his stand in water. It's an element foreign to his nature, which spells death to him as a natural man. Then he is immersed in the element of death, put right up under, out of sight, buried. And then finally, he is brought up from this watery grave by the power of somebody else's arm. Then he lives on, publicly identified with Christ through this act of obedience. And the baptism, complements the Lord's table. It's what we're getting ready to do in just a few minutes. You got the one ordinance that sets forth the believer's death with Christ. And this one we're getting ready to do, it sets forth Christ's death for the believer.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
So the truth is, we died with Christ. The triumph is, we obtained victory over sin in that death with Christ. And the treasure is one of peace, joy, love, happiness in this life now and in the life to come. Yeah, it's going to happen then. You know, over there where every day will be like Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It says Sabbath will have no end. That portion of worship in God, it has no end. And it's the place where Job declared that the wicked shall cease from troubling, and our weary souls will be at rest. All the saints of the ages will sit at his feet and be blessed. Somebody said it will be always howdy howdy,
yeah,
and never goodbye. I'm trying to give us some tunnel thinking that will keep us from being at a place that the stuff that we see doesn't mess with the spirit on the inside of us. That my vision does not mess with my destination.
Yeah.
Because many times I can't see where I'm going, but I know where I'm on my way to.
There has
to be somebody that, even though you can't see, that you still have a tunnel thinking that I know I serve a God, mm-hmm, that is able to carry me from earth to glory. I serve a God that will fix everything that I need. And I serve a God who is able to provide for my every need. Get your thinking right. I serve a God who is able, what you say, to do exceeding abundantly above all I can ask to think. Now you got to focus your tunnel thinking like that. When you start thinking like that, no devil in hell,
come out here,
can pull you back. When you stop thinking like that, you mess up the devil's plan, because he thinks he can mess you up when he messes with your paycheck, when he messes with your family, when he messes with your children. But when your focus,
yes, sir,
woo, is on the one who is able to do above all we could ask or think. He keeps you in perfect peace.
Hallelujah.
I admonish you to keep your mind
stayed on him.
Stayed on him. I said, keep your mind.
Keep your mind.
Stayed on him. You've got to have tunnel thinking.
Yes.
That you think like the Lord has given you insight.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And you take what he has told you and you follow in that and see when you get victory on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes victory shows up in a hurry. Sometimes victory takes to the end of the week.
Yes, Lord. Yeah.
But what happened? Victory
still belongs to me.
Still belongs to you. Victory is yours.
Yes.
Today, tomorrow, next week, next month, next year. If you think that it belongs to you, your waiting period ain't nothing but a shout moment in advance, giving God praise for what he's getting ready to do. I come to bless a God that is able to take care of me. I come to bless a God, even though I can't see my way clear right now, he promised
never
to leave me alone. God, I thank you today that my treasure, I got some treasure over on this side.
Yeah.
But there's some treasure laid up on that side.
Come on here.
And the treasure here does not compare to what he's got for me over there. That's my thinking.
That's right.
That keeps me on my path. That makes my tunnel thinking hone in on the fact that God is yet able.
Yeah.
And he will do it.
Yes, he will.
Just like he said he would.
Yes, he will.
Come on, Christians. Be consistent.
Hallelujah.
Be always the same.
Yes.
But we want you to have tunnel thinking.
Mm-hmm.
That my thoughts have become
his
thoughts.
My.
And when your thoughts become
his thoughts, come on here.
Your ways become his ways.
Yes,
and when your ways become his way, he makes a way for you in any circumstance or situation.
Yeah.
You keep getting negative results. Glory.
Yes,
your lights stay on. Glory to God. When your ways become his ways, blessings running over.
Mm-hmm.
Blessings
running
over. Belong
to
you.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.